Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So you are encouraged and invited to read the scripture from the Gospel according to Luke from the second chapter, verses 39 to 52. But as I mentioned earlier, we will be reading from Children's Story That Every Child Should Know. If I can find it. There it is. All right. Hear now the story about Jesus grows up. When Joseph and Mary and the boy Jesus came back to Israel, they went to a town called Nazareth. That's where they lived while Jesus grew up. Every year, Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, he went with them. Many other families also went to Jerusalem. They all went to celebrate and remember when God passed over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt, keeping their families safe. After the special time came to an end, the people started walking back to their homes, and Joseph and Mary saw that Jesus wasn't with them, but they thought he was with some of their friends, so they didn't worry. When evening came, they began asking if anyone had seen him, but no one had. By this time, they were getting very worried. So they went back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus there, and it took them a day to go back. And it was another day before they finally found him. He was at the temple talking with the great teachers there. He was listening to them and asking them questions. These men were surprised at how much Jesus knew. After all, he was only 12 years old, and they had been teaching for many years. So Mary called to Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us like this? We have been looking for you everywhere." And Jesus was surprised. He asked, "Didn't you know I would be here at my father's house, the temple?" And Joseph and Mary didn't understand what he meant. But when Jesus grew older, his mother remembered what he had said and often thought about it later. Later, she understood it. Jesus was God's son, so of course he would call the temple his father's house. And of course he would want to be there. But for now, Jesus went back home to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph. He did all they told him to do, and as he grew up, he grew tall and wise. God loved him, and people loved him too. This is a story of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Friends, pray with me. Gracious God, thank you. On this day, last Sunday of August, as we conclude one season and move into the next, we hear about a pivotal moment in the life of our Savior. So open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we know, and sometimes you can hit the story at a couple of different points, right? Sometimes you may use the story of boy Jesus in the temple as an illustration about how kids may disobey the instructions of their families, right? Like, I told you to get in the car, and then they don't do it. Or you tell them to put on their shoes, and you're 5 miles down the road, and you realize you turn around and you see bare feet, and you're like, where are your shoes? Does anybody relate to that at all? You're loading them up to get in the car to take them to school, and you're like, don't forget your lunchbox, don't forget your backpack, and then you're getting out at the carpool line like, I forgot my lunchbox, you know? And so we tend to do that. We know that. And we could focus on that because there's slight humor and then there's slight exacerbation that comes from that as well, right? This whole process of parenting. And I just wonder what it was like for them to parent Jesus, right? Like, you can see some imaginative things. Have you ever seen, like, Jesus, you know, performing miracles, like, you know, and the kids going, wow, look at that. Like, I could totally see that. Now, that's my creativity and my imagination, extrapolating Jesus getting into trouble or whatever. And then I think, is that really accurate? So let's just focus in on what we do know, right? We do know that when Jesus was born, he was born in what town? Bethlehem, exactly, because they had to be counted in the census for Joseph's family, and so they went to Bethlehem. Now, what we sometimes forget is that Bethlehem actually means bread basket, like holding bread. Did you know that? That there is meaning to the name of Bethlehem. And so when we think, oh my goodness, Jesus was born in a place known for bread, and later we hear Jesus being the bread of life, right? But we also know that when they were visited when Jesus was a toddler by the Magi, or wise men, from far east, because it took them a long time to find Jesus, you know, they were pretty much aware that Jesus' life could be in danger. And so they left and took Jesus to Egypt. And they lived there for quite a while, until they felt it was safe for him to come back because of the edict that the king had put out that all boys 2 and under were to be eliminated, right? And so to protect Jesus' life, they were exiled to Egypt, but eventually they came back. And they came back to the town of Nazareth, right? And we know that because then when we hear stories of Jesus later of, can anything good come out of the town of Nazareth, right? And so an indication of automatically discounting the ability of Jesus to do things differently or embody something different. So, you know, that kind of puts that into story. But we have the birth narrative, and then the next thing we know, Jesus is being baptized in the River Jordan, right? The Jordan River by his cousin John. We don't have a lot of the in-between moments, but we have this story, particularly when Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. And what's interesting about it is, you know, we often miss the story after Jesus' birth, of them waiting for the Messiah, and they were hanging out at the temple. And then when Jesus was presented in the temple for his naming day, you know, they said, this is the Messiah, right? We were waiting for the return of the Messiah to the temple of God, to the house of God. And because Joseph and Mary were faithful Jews, they would make the long trek from their hometown, or the town in which they live, Nazareth, to the temple courts, right? And this is similar to when we hear of the Holy Spirit coming upon all those who were gathered for the Passover feast, right? Like, we hear that. That is similar to the story of the Lord's Supper. And we see all these points of intersection. So what is it about Jesus at this point in his life in the story of God? We don't have anything for 9 years, and then we have the story of him, you know, going to the temple to worship. And not just going to the temple to worship, but to actually sit at the rabbis in that temple. It is not unusual for young males to sit at the feet of rabbis to learn and to be instructed in the ways of the Jewish faith, and to learn the scriptures, and to ask their questions, or even to absorb, right, what they need to learn. And so for Jesus to be in the temple, he would have been there for worship, but he was just 12, right? I'm just curious, like, how did he even have the courage? Like, I'm looking at some of our, like, young people, like our 12-year-olds, and say, would they have the courage to come up here and ask questions about scripture? Right? Can you imagine? Like, that's similar. And this is a small setting. The temple in Jerusalem was not small, and it would have been very crowded. But to have this young lad actually go and engage with the religious leaders and the teachers and the rabbis, and to not only hear the scripture, but to read the scripture and then ask questions and answer questions, right? And there was this cooperative relationship between Jesus and the folks in the temple. And side note, they decide to return home, right? Joseph and Mary are like, okay, the Passover festival is over. It's time for us to return home. And then only after a certain amount of time do they realize that Jesus is not with them, right? Because chances are they weren't traveling together. Joseph would have been traveling with men. Mary would have been traveling with the women. Joseph probably thought that Joseph was either running along with cousins or was with the women's group, or Mary may have thought that, you know, Jesus was traveling along with Joseph and the men. So it's not hard to imagine a disconnect in communication. They did not have the luxury of being able to find my phone or Life 360 or AirTag track their son, right? Like, they didn't have that technology. They weren't able to say, hey, where's the kid? You know, so they had to, you know, do the whole communication through the lane, and then they realized, oh my gosh, he's not here. We got to go back and find him, right? So they had already traveled one day away to have to travel another day to come back. And how long did it take to find Jesus? Another day. Friends, how many days was that? 3 days. Does that echo to anything for you when you hear the number three? How long was, I know, right? So you can't not pay attention to it, Ms. Deanie. Absolutely. And so for me to think, okay, well, this story is about Jesus, and it's 3 days, and he's revealing things about the story of God that they hadn't heard before. And for me, that's already telling me the trajectory of 3 days. Jesus is going to come from that empty tomb, revealing the story of God in a totally different way. Right? How old was Jesus? 12. What does that number make you think of? The disciples, what else? Tribes of Israel. The tribes of Israel, absolutely. That Jesus is this intermediary between, you know, having come out of Egypt into the land and to come to the center locus of worship of God, and he's 12. And there are those 12 tribes of God's people. We have to pay attention to that, right? Jesus is connecting the history of God's people and will be a pivotal part of what it looks like into the future, right? And then when they find him in the temple, we're like, what? Jesus, like, you knew. Why are you wondering? You should have known you'd find me here. That'd be like finding our kid at the Xbox store in the grocery, or in the, you know, the shopping mall, or in the candy aisle in the grocery store, right? Like, we know where to find our kids, you know, because we instinctively know what they're about. But, you know, for Jesus, like, why were you worried? Why were you worried? I was exactly where I was supposed to be, doing exactly what I needed to be doing. Jesus was opening up and allowing his questions and his answers to expand the understanding for those who were charged with the teaching of Jesus, or of God's lessons to those who were gathering for worship, right? That he was already giving a clue that what he had to reveal was going to be unlike anything else they had engaged with before. So for us, when we think about that, how often do we tell our kids or the folks that we interact with that, you know, I can remember this, and it's been told to myself and some of my sister's kids, are to be seen but not heard. How many of you have heard that one? Meaning that the kids, or I'm even thinking about family meals, like, were kids allowed to eat at the big table? No, there was always a what? A kid's table. There was this separation between the adults and the kids. Anymore now, You know, do we look for opportunities to bring people together, right? Do we try to break down those barriers and realize that, hey, maybe our kids have something to share with us that we may not know? Maybe they are going to speak a word of wisdom to us that we would otherwise miss if we didn't open ourselves up to the opportunity. What can they share with us as adults? Because I got to tell you, I'm looking at my littles and I'm looking at my young people. They know a whole lot about God that we may not know as adults. There's an openness in their receptivity, their willingness to kind of, you know, see and understand that God is at work in the world, and Jesus definitely was at work in Jerusalem over that festival time. And Jesus was working in the world through his ministry. And Jesus continues to work in and through the world through the resurrected life. Friends, as we think about boy Jesus and the wisdom that Jesus had for those adults, it reminds me of the necessity that our community of faith, our shared life together, cannot be homogeneous to one group. We need everybody. We need the babies. We need the toddlers. We need the elementary kids, our pre-Ks, our soon-to-be middle schoolers who don't want to have anything to do with us because parents are not cool at all. And our teenagers and our college kids, our young adults, our families that are just starting, those that are now empty nesters, retirees, folks that maybe are widowed or have lost their friends. We need all of that. And trust that God is with all of us. So what wisdom of this story about a 12-year-old boy standing in the temple will speak wisdom into our lives today? Are we ready to hear what he has to say to us? Are we ready to learn what Jesus wants us to learn? Are we going to be open to the wisdom of God? I pray that we are. And then I hope that we are able to boldly stand like Jesus did as a boy and proclaim a word of hope into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.